happening is I'm interviewing my grandfather, John Bucho Sr., for the History of Wyoming class. We are sitting in his kitchen on April 21st, 1983. Okay, where were you born and when?
Austria-Hungary, July 4th, 1900.
Okay, and when and why did your family decide to come to Rock Springs?
Well, I think conditions were pretty rough in a foreign country, in Austria-Hungary.
Okay, and what was the year that you came to Rock Springs?
I think about around 1905.
Okay. How old were you when you came over?
5 years of age.
Can you remember anything about Hungary or your journey to the
States? Well, I remember a little about Hungary that the conditions were very poor there. If you got meal once a week, you were lucky. And my dad came to the United States and worked as a coal miner, and we had to make 3 trips in order to bring the family over. And we landed in New York, and from New York we landed down in Pennsylvania, you know, going on different places, different parts of the country, heading towards the west. And we went to Virginia. From Virginia, we went down to Colorado, and from Colorado, we moved to here, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 1909, in the neighborhood around March of 1909.
Okay, and you said it took 3 trips to get your whole family over here. How many members was there in your family?
There were 11 children in our family.
Okay, and what did you first think of Rock Springs when you came here? What was your first impression of it?
Well, kind of surprised to live in a large city like Rock Springs. At that time, to me, it was considered pretty large, living in a little coal mining community all the time. And we had to go to Superior. That's where we were supposed to go, to Superior, Wyoming, in 1909. And that's where we stayed for about 2 years. Then we moved over to Reliance, and from Reliance we stayed there for a number of years. I don't recall how long, but probably about 1918 when I first left home and moved to Rock Springs.
Okay, and what kind of transportation did you use? You mentioned a ship on your way when you came over. I mean, what kind of transportation did you use to get, like, say, from Virginia over to here?
Well, we had to come on a train.
Okay, and then what about when you arrived here? What kind of transportation?
Well, we had to have horse and buggies. we rode from Rock Springs to Superior. In 1909, that we had to ride in a train caboose. And there was no other transportation at that time available, although they had horse and wagon, but we couldn't get any. That was our transportation.
Okay, and was there any indoor plumbing when you first came?
No. No indoor plumbing, to my knowledge. All up until, well, I think I had to move to Rock Springs if I ever had indoor plumbing. That was about 1918.
Okay.
Although they did have some plumbing in Reliance for some of the mine officials, but not for the other class of people.
All
outdoors. And we used Sears and Roebuck catalog for paper.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Okay, what about the town water supply? Where did it come from?
Well, at Superior, they had to haul it with a big tank and a team of horses, and we had a 50-gallon barrel, a wooden barrel out on by the platform, back platform. It had a lid for it, and that's where they put her water, and they charged 10 cents a barrel. That was in Superior. In Reliance, they had water hydrants outside that the two neighbors shared the water.
Okay, what language was spoken in your home? Did you know English when you came over?
I knew very little myself, but we learned as we went along, but mostly spoke the Hungarian language. My parents, anyway.
Okay, where did you shop for your groceries and the other goods that you needed?
The UP stores had the accommodations, and they would charge your merchandise as you got it and held it off your paycheck.
Okay. Was there a lot of bars around?
No, not too many. No bars of Reliance at all, as far as I know. Although they had stuff up there to drink. Practically every home had a little something to drink.
What about in Superior? Did they have any bars
there? In Superior, yes. They had a little town site, what they called White City. And they had at least two bars down there that I know of.
Was there any violence that occurred because of the people that went to these bars?
Yes, but not a fourth as much as they are today.
Killings because of?
No, bars? I don't recall of any killing, but I recall some stabbing and one thing and another like that. And in regards to to homes, the homes were a lot safer those days. We did not have to lock our doors as we do today. And I'm putting that in next to that. You haven't got that on there.
Okay. Was there different kind of churches and religions in Springs?
The only church, we had a little church in Superior. I was even altar boy at that time. And I don't know of any other denominations there, so they evidently, there weren't enough people there, but the Catholic church was there when we arrived there.
And that was the only church in Superior?
Yeah. And there's no churches in Reliance at all.
Okay, were there any floods and dust storms or other natural disasters that occurred when you were growing up?
Yes, we had quite a flood in Reliance, to my memory, along about 1914. I remember well, because my sister Rose had gotten married during that time. And we had a cloudburst that took away parts of the railroad section. It took them quite a distance, probably about maybe a half a mile.
And were there dust storms then too as bad as they are now?
Yes, there was a dust storm, but not too bad as far as I know.
Were there anything like tornadoes and stuff that came through?
No, not around here in my time.
Okay, around 1918, they had the flu epidemic. Do you know anything about that?
I do, because I lived in and around Green River at the time, and I was ill myself for quite a while, but I took care of myself. And although there were a lot of people that passed away in Rock Springs, they even you had to use the Masonic Temple. That's next to the post office here, the old post office. And people were just dying right and left.
Because of this epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when something like this broke out, where did you go to get medical help?
Well, I imagine everybody had to try to get the help they could from the doctors.
Do you have a number of how many doctors there was in that experience?
I would say there's probably about six or seven doctors at that time, in my memory.
Was there any kind of special remedies that people made up in order to cure some of your ailments?
Well, yes, some of the old remedies for colds and stuff like that. Some of the people have used some rubbing ointment of some kind, and salves and one thing or another. And some of the people even boil some kind of a herb tea as a kind of a remedy for colds and so on.
Was there a union hall in Roxbury?
Yes, we had a union hall in Reliance also. The United Mine Workers, number 905. I belonged to it at that time. And they also had several unions in Rock Springs, coal miners' unions and carpenters' unions and waitress' unions and laundry workers' unions and so on.
And you said you belonged to the carpenters' union?
Uh-huh.
Now what kind of... what kind of things did you do in the carpenters' union?
Holding offices, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was president for a good number of years, and I was also a business agent. And then we just rotated, alternated. We got different people to take different offices. When I first joined the Carpenters Union, and I think it was about in June of 1923. I've been a member ever since. And I got a 55-year membership card here about 2 years ago, and expect another one in the near future.
Where's holidays like this 4th of July really celebrated in Rock Springs?
Yes, we had lots of nice celebrations in Rock Springs, especially Labor Days and 1st of April. 1st of April, we put on several parades and one thing or another and had prizes, real nice prizes. And the merchants also cooperated. They donated towards the celebrations. And during Labor Days, we had nice rodeos. And in 1932 and 1933, I was the chairman of the Labor Day Celebration Committee.
Do you remember a holiday that celebrated the advent of the 8-hour day? Do you remember anything about that?
No, not too much to my mind.
Were there Orientals and black people in town?
Yes, but not so many colored people, but more so Japs, a few Chinamen.
Okay, where did they live?
They lived mostly in dugouts, because they had a massacre here, I think way back in almost in the 90s, but I don't recall of it. I just was told about it. And so therefore the Chinamen hid out as much as possible. I think the trouble was that the Chinamen were paying their way to get better jobs in the mines. And that's what really started the riot, or whatever you want to call it. And today, you can go back in the in the neighborhood of the Slovensky Dome, is where they found some of the Chinamen that hid out quite a while, and find articles there, such as coin and other metal stuff. And I have a knife, what they call a dagger, that was handmade by some of the Chinamen's hair. But I had it given to me. I didn't find it. I had it given to me. I still have it.
Were there any special holidays that these Chinese people celebrated?
No, not those days. No.
Were they, what kind of jobs did these Chinese people do? And were they well paid or underpaid?
No, I think that part of the massacre, some were working for a lot less money than the white men would.
Okay, now we'll talk about your childhood. What kind of games did you play when you were little to occupy your time?
Oh, sometimes hide and go seek and kick the cans or run sheepy run or whatever it was. It's just ordinary kids' games.
Did kids that were of different ethnic groups or religions or races, did you all play together?
Yes. Black and white. Of course, we didn't have no black people in Reliance at the time.
Okay, and you attended schools in Rock Springs, right?
No.
No?
I did not attend a school in Rock Springs. I just attended a school in Superior in Colorado and Reliance.
What was the atmosphere of the classroom like? Was there a big room with a bunch of kids in it, or was it separated into grades?
No, there was one little three-room house with the partitions taken out, formed one big room, and we were all in one room.
And did you have, was there sports played and stuff like that, different kinds of sports?
Well, yes, we played a little football and a little baseball, and I don't know any other stuff.
How are you disciplined in school?
Well, about the average.
Being sent to the corner and...
Good and bad. Human nature.
What kind of classes did you take when you attending school?
I didn't take any particular class. I just followed the school teacher's program, I believe.
And how many different grades was there in this room?
Well, that I really can't answer, other than they must have been at least three or four grades, because I only went to the sixth grade.
Okay, what kind of, like, household chores were you and your brothers and sisters made to do?
I had to help mother to do the cooking, and maids, and wash clothes, and mend, and everything else in the line of home, because my sister was working out, and mother had to have some help.
And your sister's older than you?
Yes.
So she is
2 years older than me. She was working out.
What was your house like that you lived in?
Well, it wasn't the best, and yet it wasn't the worst. It was a company home, mostly in the company homes. It's not too well insulated, hardly any insulation. And no heat other than heat by a coal stove. No gas, and no electricity to heat with.
And, like, how many kids would have to be put in one room together?
Well, I'd say sometimes four, maybe sometimes five or more.
So it's kind of cramped?
Yeah.
Okay, how were your birthdays celebrated, and what kind of presents did you receive?
Very, very little. Once in a while, the kids would get together, and they'd have a little party and invite the neighbors over. And no gifts were received or given, as far as I know.
And is that because of the bad times, the no money? Okay, how are you disciplined by your mother and father?
My mother was always good to me. But my dad was a little ornery. towards me for some reason or other, I don't know. He even hit me after I was working, which he did. And that's a part of the reason that I had to leave home.
Were the boys and the girls disciplined differently? Were the girls?
Yes, there weren't too many of the girls around because they were. I was next to the youngest one at home at that time.
So they had all gone out on their own.
Yeah, and got married.
Do you remember a bell ringing at nighttime in Rock Springs that told all the children that they were supposed to be inside?
Well, somebody rang bell and somebody blew whistles, what they considered a curfew. Is that what you're referencing?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I recall those.
What would they do to you if you were caught outside after this time?
Well, they wouldn't do much other than caution you to not be around that late in the evening.
Did you have to be in the house? Or?
Well, yes, practically in the house.
How are holidays like Easter and Christmas celebrated? How would your family celebrate?
They were real nice because everybody seemed to enjoy those two particular holidays, Easter and Christmas. I recall that different people used to go around and sing songs in regards to Christmas time, and they were cheerful, and about all they had to offer was something to drink, something to eat.
And did you guys have a Christmas tree in your?
Not too many.
Did you ever hear any of your friends having a sagebrush Christmas tree?
I talked to one of my friends recently, and this lady, she says yes. She says she knows of the day that they had the sagebrush Christmas trees, but I do not know of the day.
And did you receive any gifts during Christmas?
Well, yes, whatever a person could do at that time.
No, like what kind of gifts did you receive?
Well, mostly clothing.
What was dating like?
Dating, well, I guess I was just like the rest of the people. I just thought I had a girlfriend, and I guess the girls likewise thought they had a boyfriend. And that's, we didn't get very far because we were young and wasn't serious enough to really know what we were doing.
And where did you go on the dates?
Oh, go no place in particular other than maybe to the neighbors.
And you didn't ever go out?
Oh, no. There's no place to go out there, you know, the camps especially.
Are you talking about Superior or
Reliance?
Reliance. Did you guys ever take any vacations, your whole family together?
No. No vacation those days.
What did you and your family do for fun, recreation?
Well, we didn't because my dad was up in years and I was younger, and like I say, I never got along too good with dad anyway, and so I didn't never approach him about any pleasure.
You never did go hunting or fishing or anything like that?
Yes, I went fishing. Well, I think I started out with fishing about the year 1915. We hunted rabbits, that's about all.
Did you ever go roller skating?
Well, not while I was young. I tried it after I got to be a young man here in Rock Springs.
You didn't like it?
Well, it was all right, but it was kind of hard for me to stay on my on my wheels.
Okay, there, did you ever go to any dances?
Yes, I loved dances, always did. Yeah, I was quite popular in my days, younger days of dancing. I always had a lot of fun.
What kind of dances did you guys do?
Well, they were called several different foxtrots and camel walks and whatever else. I don't recall all the names.
Where were these dances held at?
In the community building.
And where's that?
They had a building at Reliance that was just like a theater, you know, of course it was flat, not the race seats. And they'd clean the chairs out, you know, put everything back in the wall and swept the floor and then they danced.
Did they have these dances on the holidays that they celebrate, like the 4th of July and Labor Day?
And yes, and even on a lot of Saturday evenings.
So they had, what, like a dance every week?
Frankly, yeah.
Was alcohol served at any of these dances?
Yes, they were, I imagine. No, I never did drink any myself in the dances. I think there was some, you know, it wasn't wide open. It was kind of like they carried in their pocket or what, because I think I saw some people drinking out of a bottle, so I imagine that's what they'd done.
Now, was there an age limit on when you could drink? Hmm? Was there an age limit on when you could drink?
Well, that I don't know. I don't think there was.
And did you ever drink as a younger?
Yes, I took a few drinks. My first time that I remember, the wholesale house brought a half a gallon of wine, sweet wine, and left it on a table in the kitchen. As I went in, I asked my mother, I said, "What have you got in the little brown jug here?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "Why don't you sample it?" So I sampled it, and it tasted sweet. And I wasn't satisfied with the first one, so I helped myself a little more. And pretty soon I got dizzy, and seeing a lot of things. That was it.
No more. What other types of entertainment came to Rock Springs? Was there circuses and famous bands that came?
Yes, and speaking of Rock Springs, yeah. I don't know whether I should include that this way or the other way. They used to have nice bands tour the country. And also they had local bands, nice local band that played any dances in different places in Rock Springs. We had as high as, three or four dances in one night, mostly on Saturday nights. We had the Masonic Temple, we had the Labor Temple, and we had the Slovensky Dome, and later on we had the Playmore. Did you ever hear the Playmore?
Mm-hmm.
And I managed the Playmore dance halls for about at least 10 years.
You
myself.
Managed it?
And that is when we started to get some of these orchestras, bands that were touring the country to stop over and play in Rock Springs.
Can you recall any of the names of these bands?
One that I recall is the name of Ted Fiorita.
How do you spell that last name?
I don't know just exactly how. Let me just about the way it sounds.
Fiorita?
Fiorita. Ted Fiorita.
Okay. Now we'll talk about how you met Grandma and your family. Okay, where and when did you meet Grandma?
I met her in they had a little confectionery store on K Street in Rock Springs. And I went in there and I got acquainted with her there, I think in about 1921.
So you were in your 20s when you got married?
Mm-hmm. And we took a liking to one another and we dated. And I took her out to the dances and one place or another with different people. We grouped up, you know, and four, five, six people at a time. And In about 6 months' time, I proposed to her. She accepted it, and we got married in the spring, in June of 1922, in Rock Spring.
Can you remember what your wedding ceremony was like and what you wore?
Well, I wore a real light tan suit, to my memory. And just like somebody else, I didn't recall all the ceremony other than, do you take this to be your loved wife? And then vice versa for her.
Was it a big wedding? Did you have a big reception afterwards?
No, not too big. It was celebrated mostly out at Reliance, you know, folks, and then they put on a little celebration.
Okay, and how many children did you have?
We had 9 children.
How many boys and how many girls?
Well, there's 6 boys and 3 girls. We lost our first baby. And there's 6 boys and 2 girls living.
Was there a midwife presence from Grandma?
No. It was taken care of in the hospital. All the boys were taken care of in the hospital here, the old hospital.
Okay, was there any special radio shows or TV shows that you listened to?
You mean radio and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
No, we really didn't. We weren't really interested in radios at that time.
Okay, you said that you lived with your parents and then you decided to move out. How old were you when you decided to move out on your own?
About 18.
And you, did you still stay in Rock Springs?
Well, I roamed around a little. I went to Idaho, went to Oregon. And I think that's about all.
And did you go in search of work up there?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have any luck?
Oh yes, I worked in different places.
Did your family belong to any social clubs when
no.
you were growing up? Or just led a quiet life?
Yeah, had nothing in it. A lot of work, too much work to do, I guess.
Well, I'll talk about your employment. Oh, did you have something else you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. Now I'll talk about your employment and your jobs and stuff. What was the first job you ever had?
First job I ever had was along about, I remember it all the time, I guess, on about March the 17th, 1915. And the first job I had working in the coal mine.
And what were the conditions like?
Conditions were a lot different because those days, when you cleaned up a room, we had rooms where we cleaned up the coal, and they would cut the coal and blast it. We had to go up and work in the smoke. The conditions were that bad. And they finally passed a law where they were not allowed to shoot the coal while the men were working in the mine. But the conditions were still bad.
What was the pay like?
Pay like when I went to work with my dad to help load coal. We got 34 cents a ton for loading the coal.
And what types of items could your wages buy?
What was that?
What types of goods could your wages buy? Did you have to go without a lot of things? Because of the wages you made? Or?
Well, yes. We didn't have everything we wanted. Sometimes I even had to almost fight to get a nickel or a dime to buy a package of cigarettes or buy a bar of candy.
Mm-hmm.
Our conditions are that rough, you know.
Did any of the companies deduct money from your wages as a charge for electrical usage?
Well, as near as I know, the electrical use was included in the rent in Reliance, to my memory.
Was working in the coal mine, was it considered a dangerous job?
Yes, it's about as dangerous as you can get.
Was anybody ever injured or killed while they were on the job?
Yes, I've witnessed several people that were injured, and I've helped to dig one man out from his cave, and he survived for quite a number of years afterwards. And there were some people got killed, and mine just had to keep on going.
If you were injured on the job, did they give you some sort of compensation?
Yes, there was such a thing because the union conditions, you know, we had compensation. And although they wanted you to go back to work as soon as you could get around, because the longer you were off, the more the companies had to pay in the compensation.
If, say, a wife's husband gets killed on the job, would she receive this compensation of his?
Yes, but a lot of people had trouble receiving the full amount of compensations.
Okay, how many hours did you work a week, or a day? How many hours did you work a day?
8 hours a day.
And how many days a week?
Oh, if we averaged 3 days a week in and around the mine, we were lucky.
Just 3 days? Mm. Did you have holidays off, like your Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Yes, we had those off.
And were they paid? Did they pay for them?
No.
What about vacations? Were your vacations paid for?
Some of the people got vacations later on, but not in the early days. That was done through the union.
You were working in the mines, was there like poor lighting and you were bent over all day? And
poor lighting and you had to shovel all your coal by hand.
Yeah.
You know, poor lighting, there's no electric lights down there. And some of that coal is 6 foot high, you know, the vein, and some is 14 foot high. And you had to set props in there to make it safe.
So that it wouldn't cave in.
Yeah, so you wouldn't get hurt.
Was there any time when your foreman came up and told you that you needed to speed up your work so that they could have more coal produced?
Yes. Yes, I've had several the foremen approached me and asked me why I couldn't do this, why I couldn't do that a little better, a little faster.
So when they did this, did you have to work longer hours?
No, I didn't work no longer hours.
You
but
just had to work faster?
Yeah.
What was a union meeting like?
Well, they always talked about different conditions, and they had set up the conditions that everybody had to obey them. You know, even the miners and the company. And as far as the doctor's concerned, we paid for the doctor, you know, but the company hired a doctor, but we were assessed so much per month for the doctor.
Was the attendance high at these meetings? Did a lot of people show up for the union meetings?
Well, in the earlier days, they were a good turnout.
How high were the union dues? Were they a reasonable price?
Yes, I don't recall how high they were, but there wasn't much we could do about it other than obey them and pay the dues.
Did the union have a store where you could purchase goods at a cheaper price?
They did in Rock Springs, but it didn't last too long.
Were the prices that much lower than?
No, the prices couldn't be too much lower because I think that is why they had to close the store down, because the other companies was too much competition and made it so that they printer had to close down.
What kind of did the union sponsor any kind of recreational activities, like on these holidays, like Labor Day? Or?
Yes, it was the union. It was the unions that really sponsored it. Should do credit for putting on these celebrations. Although the merchants helped financially, because they benefited by it.
So it was the members of the unions that planned everything, got all
together. We had the merchants have committees come in on their programs, and we give them the opportunity to mention some of the things that they would like to have.
Were the union leaders, did they actually work the way, were they just organizers? That's all they did was organize this union?
Well, no, there weren't too many organizers here, because although there had to be a certain amount of officers for any union or any organization, so, and they worked along with the other people in the mines and around the mines.
Did the union members have any kind of benefits, like life insurance?
Yes, towards the last, they did have that, but it was most pertained mostly to the hospital and the doctor service, which they still get today.
Okay. Were non-whites and women welcome in this union?
Everybody was welcome.
Okay. Was there a women's auxiliary union?
Well, not in Reliance, but there is women auxiliaries here in Rock Springs now, today, in all organizations. Eagles, and Redmond Lodge, and Elks, and Oddfellas, and so on. They all have auxiliary, you know, women to share with the expense and the whatever you call it, I can't recall it. To make it a success.
Were you ever part of a union drive, or did you ever go out on strike?
Yes. Went on one strike. It was considered quite serious in regards to a theater where they had a sign made up of non-union help. Non-union help in around Utah, I think it was Ogden. And we tied up the theater for quite a number of days.
And how long did the strike last? Can you recall?
Well, that strike probably lasted about 3 weeks, I'm guessing. And then we also had the strike during the 1922, because they didn't agree to renew the contract for the miners.
Was there any kind of violence that took place during these strikes?
No, they were quite cooperative and agreeable. Everybody was quiet. For one reason, when we were on strikes and living out Reliance, we still lived in the UP homes of the people that we were striking against. And they were fair to us by letting us live there, so we were fair to them in all treatments.
What about the police? Were they agreeable and cooperative, or kind of hostile?
Well, we never had much trouble with the police, because they knew that we had a certain amount of the rights in regards to striking.
Were the conditions after the strike considered to be better than the way they were before?
To a certain extent, yes, it helped. Because if we would have left things go, naturally, on the long run, we would have all been working for a lot less wages. And I think that the union people are the ones that raised the non-union people's wages.
Did the union seem to improve the quality of the workers' life?
The worker life?
Mm-hmm.
How would I interpret that?
Well, it says that some people say that unions didn't do a thing for the people, that all they did was take their money. Do you feel that the workers benefited from belonging
yes,
to the union?
I believe they did. Because it costs money to go ahead and keep the unions going, and although some of the higher officials no doubt could take advantage.
Okay, what kind of chores did you have to do around the house after you and Grandma got married? Did you do all the repair work?
Yes, we rented a home when after we got married. We rented a home. We didn't own our own home. And I helped to do everything I could to make it comfortable for both of us. Wash dishes, helped cook, whatever necessary.
And you helped with the children?
Yes. I have changed the children's diapers, and I have washed their diapers, and done everything that the person really should do. It's good for a man to know those things, to help out.
And you were a carpenter, right?
Right.
What year did you
I started the carpenter trade in 1919 in Green River. Worked for Eber Brothers.
And when did you stop working as a carpenter?
Oh, I was about six, and probably about the neighborhood of 1970.
Do you miss your work?
Well, I've done odds and ends, you know, right along. I put on my roof in a garage here in 1975. And I've done about a whole year's work in and around the house here.
Did you do any work on building houses in the Rock Springs area?
Oh, yes. It's where we've done most of our work. I built a few homes myself and worked for practically all the lumber companies here, contractors, in and around Rock Springs. I've done a lot of work outside of Rock Springs, out in the country, Pinedale, Green River, on Green River, on the ranches, and so on.
And you belong to the Carpenters Union?
Oh, yeah.
And you still do today?
Do.
Did you guys ever go on any strikes? The Carpenters Union?
Yes, we had strikes, but my dues are paid up now, definitely, for being a member so long. I don't have to pay no more dues.
And how long did you say you've been a member?
Well, since 23, so that'd be 60 years mm-hmm. this June, and I received 55-year button for belonging to the Carpenters Union, paid up member.
Okay, what kind of political, or which political party did you support, and why?
Well, I didn't favor anyone in particular. I considered a man. If I thought he was a good man, regardless of his affiliation, I voted for the man that I thought would do the best work.
Do you know when the Democrats took over Sweetwater County?
Well, it's before my times.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's always been a Democratic county.
Was politics considered to be a clean profession in Wyoming?
Well, to a certain extent, I would say yes.
And what, do you know what the average campaign was like when they were trying to get elected into office?
Well, I ran for a county assessor office myself, I think in the year of 1934 or 35, but I got defeated because the man that defeated me was already an assistant county assessor. And the campaign can be considered clean, and they can also make it dirty. But but I never played that kind of a campaign.
And you never ran for office again after that, just the one time? Were you an active party member? Did you attend rallies? Or?
No, just a normal person.
Can you recall who the most famous politician was that ever came to Rock Springs?
I can't quite recall. To me, they were pretty much all about equal.
And do you have any idea whether or not the Ku Klux Klan was active in and around this region?
No, not to my knowing, not around here.
Did you ever read about it?
Yes.
In the newspapers?
But none around here, you know, active.
Did women vote regularly in the elections?
No. I don't recall what year the women got to vote. Other times, they seemed like they weren't allowed to vote.
So even though they had the privilege, they still didn't vote.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is the last question under politics. What do you think of the current president of the United States and his policies that he has?
The current president?
Mm-hmm.
He has some good ideas and he has some bad ideas. And somebody likes him and somebody don't, but he cannot run this country by himself. He's got to have help from Republicans, from Democrats, and from other parties who may be there, because he cannot control the country himself.
Okay, what were the times around the 1920s like? Can you remember anything special?
Well, we had some depressions, I know. But it wasn't, the real depression came later in the year, about 1930s.
Do you know anything about the prohibition that took place during that time?
Prohibition?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know of one of the prohibition officers, knew him well, that got killed during the prohibition days by a man that was operating a still out south of Rock Springs. But he had assistance with him. It was a good thing that he had, because the man had the excuse that he wanted to, after he was caught doing what he was doing, that he wanted to go in and get something and decide to turn his stock loose. And instead of him going in and getting something to turn his stock loose, he come out with a rifle and shot this one officer. Man by the name of Capon. That's his name. Was a married man, had a family here in Rock Springs.
And he's the man that got shot?
Mm-hmm. But his assistant turned around and shot the other man. It was the bootlegger, or the moonshiner, whatever you want to call it.
Do you remember if any of your neighbors illegally made this booze?
Well, no, not exactly, other than the and I imagine it was going all around here in Rock Springs during the prohibition days. I've heard of different people talking about that Kemmer, Wyoming was known throughout the nation for its good moonshine.
And what would they do to these moonshiners, the authorities, if they caught them with their still?
Well, they put them in prison. Fine so much, put them in prison. As far as I know.
And how did people buy the booze when it was, you know, sneak around and do it?
Yes, it was sort of a black market or soliciting or whatever you want to call it.
Did you ever try to buy it?
Yes, I bought some.
Can you tell me anything about the Sweetwater County Raid of 1921?
That's in regard to the city officials.
Mm-hmm. That were arrested.
Yes. But I don't recall too much of it, although it was quite a mix-up. They had to, even the mayor had to go to Cheyenne and spend some time down there in order for them to get the thing settled, but I don't recall the outcome.
Do you know what all this was caused over?
Well, mostly by bootlegging, I guess, and so on.
Okay. How did the Depression affect this area in your life?
Well, not too bad, although it was bad enough. But, I was fortunate by finding a little work to do at all times. Even though I didn't work at my trade as a carpenter, I'd done other work in order to have bread and butter on the table.
And were there bread lines?
Yes, there were bread lines, but I refused to go into bread lines.
And what were the Hoovervilles?
Hooverville, I don't know too much about that other than they say he done everything that he shouldn't have done. For instance, like they dumped the food and stuff in the ocean instead of giving it to the needy. If that is, that's what I would consider Hooverville. Or,
and what dates did you say the Depression lasted from?
The Depressions?
Mm-hmm.
It all started in Trobby in 1929 up to maybe 34. But we didn't feel that Depression as bad as the people back in the eastern part of the state. They got more of a jolt of it than we did. We as was coming this way, we evidently got wise and kind of prepared ourselves for the shock, to my knowing. You know how it is if you hear someone getting hurt and how they get hurt, one thing and another. You happen to have the same opportunity to go around there and you just watch yourself a lot closer and take care of yourself instead of letting all this come all of a sudden.
During the time of World War II, what were the working conditions like?
Working conditions were that you had to work whether you want to or not. And the conditions were good, but they insisted you either work or go to the service, you know, the army.
And did you ever use ration carts?
Yes. We had ration for gasoline, and we had ration for coffee, and I think we had to have ration for meat, too.
Did your family really suffer because of this ration?
No. They were liberal, and allowed you enough that you didn't have to, you know, be hurt or wanting anything.
Did you ever serve in the armed forces?
No. I tried to enlist in the Navy, and I passed 99%. I went and had a checkup here in Rock Spring, 99%. And I was sent to Salt Lake. Although I told a lie when they first took my examination, told me that I was a citizen, but I was not, because my folks did not become naturalized, and I have to be naturalized later on.
Okay, what year did you become a citizen?
1927.
What did you have to do in order to become one?
I had to go to night school. Although I didn't regret going to schools because it helped a lot to go to night school. When they knew that you were willing and anxious to get your citizenship, they tried all their best ways and easiest way to help you. And I did not have no trouble getting my naturalization papers.
And did you have to take like a test at the end?
Yes, had to face a judge and answer the questions as he shot them to you. I witnessed the poor lady. It took us 3 days before I got mine. But I witnessed the poor lady that had a family here, and the judges had her shaking all over, her quivering, and he refused to give her her paper because she just couldn't hardly talk. She just had her that scared. And when I came up to the judge, he asked me, I think, about 7 or 8 questions, and I memorized a lot of that stuff, not just one particular thing, because you didn't know what he was going to ask you. But I just went like that, and okay, so see the young lady over there at the desk, go get your paper. Give this young man his paper.
And you had to go to classes to learn all about the United States.
Yeah.
Okay, can you remember anything about the depressed 1950s and how you survived it?
Oh, let's see, what were you doing in 1950s? I don't know just what we were doing.
Okay.
But I seemed to get along. I got along, as far as I know, without any trouble. Kept working.
What did you think of Rock Springs during the big boom a few years ago?
It did surprise everybody, I think. And I thought myself that it would harm the city, which I think it did. On the long run, us old timers are the ones that's going to have to suffer for the reason of a lot of this unnecessary expense that these transit brought on us. And they leave, and who's going to have to suffer the consequence of those expenses?
So you agreed with what 60 Minutes said about the corruption in the town?
To a certain extent, yes. I believe in the progressing and the town booming, but not at jumps. This is just like jumping off a big building and then get another building and jump. That's too big of a shock for anybody, you know. If we improve gradually, you know, I don't say it should be slower, but it could have grew in a certain way that nobody would have felt it so hard.
Did you ever, went out driving around, did you ever see people that were living in their campers and in tents just anywhere alongside of the road?
Yes. And I witnessed people living in a little coal mine town out here, what they call Lion Coal, about 4 miles out of Rock Springs here. And they lived in tents during the wintertime when they opened up the mines way back in 1914.
Do you think that the prices were high during this boom, the reasonable prices?
Well, I think that helped to bring a lot of it on, higher than what we really expected.
Do you think that crime was and still is a problem?
I think it is fading out. To a certain extent, it's fading out.
But I remember you mentioning that when you were growing up, you didn't even have to lock your doors, and now you don't dare leave your house without bolting it shut.
That's right. You've got to lock your doors today. We're back in the 20s, you could leave your door open and everybody was trustworthy.
Do you think that Rock Springs has changed for the better since this boom?
Well, that I can't say exactly. I think it done a little good, but we can see as we go along, maybe we can find out.
What is your saddest or funniest memory that you've had since you've been living in Sweetwater County?
Saddest?
Or funniest, whichever.
Oh, I don't know. different sadness that occurred several different times, as far as I was concerned. You know, we had death in the family and stuff like that. But it's something that was unavoidable. And I don't know just what I could say about the goodness of it. I'd probably do it over the same way.
When you and Grandma got married and you raised your family, did you guys ever take family vacations and things together?
Yes, with what little we could afford at that time. You know, we'd go out of the country but we didn't go together on any of the trips. For instance, like she went to her sister's wedding down in around Oakland, California, and so on. But when we did travel, most of our travel was to Salt Lake and back, and shopping, and a lot of times we would go to doctors and so on. We really didn't have too much of a vacation to ourselves after having our family, and we had our hands full to take care of them.
Now, when you and Grandma had such a large family, did you have to put, like, say, maybe 3 or 4 kids in a room? Maybe that many have to share one room?
Yes, we did. We had to do that. I think that most of the people, most of the families, had to kind of crowd the kids in 1 or 2 bedrooms. It was no disgrace, because, you know, as long as the kiddies got along, well, that was all right. And there was no sense of building a room if you had 6 children and you had to have a 6-room house. No, that is out of the picture. There's no need for that. Because when the children grow up, you've got 6 rooms there, and who's going to take care of them? Who's going to occupy those rooms?
They've all left.
Yeah, I believe in having nice homes and living comfortable and have everything that you can have by the means of financial and so on. But there are times we've got to do without a lot of things.
You know, you make sacrifices.
Yes. In plain words, you've got to sometimes learn to say no instead of yes. You probably experienced a little yourself now. You may ask your mother, well, Mommy, can I go out tonight? She has some other reasons. No, she says, you've got to stay home tonight. So that shouldn't, interfere with a family affair, you know, because I think every mother and father is trying to do the best they can to make nice young men, nice young women.
Were you real strict with your kids and disciplining them?
Yes, I was. And I had to obey when I was living home. When my dad said something, I had to say yes, sir. I couldn't say no.
What is the biggest change in the country since you were young? The thing that's changed the most?
There's quite a bit of changes. For instance, automobiles is a nice change, although it's a ruination of the world today. And airplanes are nice. And I still think that we should have trains. It's the safest and practically the only transportation that we have during the wintertime in and around Wyoming. And I hope that we can keep that Amtrak, which I think that we might, or more likely will, from the write-up in the papers of today, that we may get to keep Amtrak here. I hope so.
Now, how old were you when you got your first car?
I was married.
And what kind of car did you have?
I bought a second-hand car. And then I bought a new car, new Ford 1929. And I think I paid around probably $2,900. That's what it cost me, but I didn't pay for it because I had no payments. So much a month. I had to have transportation to go to and from work. Although I used to do a lot of walking and carry my toolbox on my shoulders to and from a job. No transportation.
Okay, and I guess my last question would be that, do you have any words that you'd like to leave for your grandchildren? Or heirs?
Yeah. I have quite a few, but I can't just remember how to start. All I can say is that to the grandchildren and the rest of them, is we love you.